for those who are just visiting, or if you're, my name is Martin or Marty Bell. I'm the area missionary for Halifax Baptist Association, the interim pastor here, and we're walking through 1 Timothy. I was not going to be here today, and so Don is going to preach tonight, but we've been walking through 1 Timothy. I've got two sons. I have four kids, but two sons, the oldest and the youngest, that were born on the same day, 11 years apart. And so it's kind of a interesting thing. And so we always do something on the weekend. And so they're at Disney. And so after I can be here, I told Don I could be here for the early service, and I just don't know if I'll make it back in time. I'm going to meet them over into the happiest place on earth, right? Amen. There you go. Well, we're walking through 1 Timothy, and so because we're here, we're going to back up and go through a little area that we bypass because of time. And then on Sunday nights, we've been working through 1 Peter, and we finished 1 Peter, but we're going to reiterate a few things in 1 Peter today. And then Pastor Don will be here tonight dealing with Romans on the first chapter. But if we could read together 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 18 through 20, short passage of Scripture. And if we could stand together. And today we want to look at spiritual warfare, passing the baton from Paul to Timothy. And he warns him, he gives him some encouraging words, but some warning about spiritual warfare. In verse 18, he says this, "Timothy, my son, I give you this instruction in keeping with the prophecies once made about you, so that by following them you may fight the good fight. Holding on to faith and a good conscience, some have rejected these and so have shipwrecked their faith. Among them are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have handed over to Satan to be taught not to blaspheme." Thank you. You may be seated and let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for the time we share together today and our purpose in meeting and why we're here together as a body of Christ. I'm thankful for the freedom that we have to come and to sing songs about how great you are, that we know that you, whatever happens in our world, it is well because you are in control of all things, because you are an almighty, all-powerful, all-loving God in which we worship. And so, Father, now as we look at this passage of Scripture of spiritual warfare, how important, how vital it is in the believer's life as we deal with these things. And so, Father, I pray for the power of the Holy Spirit as we look at this passage of Scripture right now. Everything we say and do, and be keeping with your will and your wishes here at this place in this moment in time. And, Father, more than anything else, I pray that when we leave here in the next few moments, that we'd be forever changed, that we'd be more mature in our faith because of our experience with you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. We have a short video presentation.
These right here?
Yeah.
I'm not even sure they're here, okay? I think they're probably gone.
Many of the reports and the pools we've got from your field commanders and the soldiers were indicating that these fortifications were not as intense or as sophisticated as they were led to believe. Was this a result of the pounding that they took that you described earlier, or is it they were perhaps overrated in the first place?
You ever been in a minefield?
No.
Because all there's got to be is one mine, and that's intense. Okay? There were plenty of mines out there. There were plenty of barbed wire. There were fire trenches that most of which we set off ahead of time, but there are still some that were out there. The Egyptian forces had to go through fire trenches. There were a lot of booby traps, a lot of barbed wire. Not a fun place to be, I got to tell you. Probably one of the toughest things that anyone ever has to do is to go up there and walk into something like that and go through it, and consider that while you're going through it and clearing it, at the same time, you're probably under fire by the enemy artillery.
This came from a press conference from General Schwarzkopf at the towards the end of the Gulf War in 1991. If you saw that press conference, it was absolutely fascinating to see all of the planned targets and all of the things that were taking place during that Gulf War. We were able to see a war as in real time as it was happening. It was absolutely fascinating to see all of the stuff. At the same time, all of the delicacies and how difficult it was to get through through Kuwait and through and do all the terrain, everything, and to be successful. Warfare. And as a believer, and I'm going to come back to General Schwarzkopf in a while, but as a believer, we face much more than what we would see in this. The believer is under attack every minute, every second, all the time. We are under attack right now. The devil doesn't like us worshiping in any sort of spiritual understanding. And so there are attacks. I was going to bring my son, who is at Disney. I was asking him, he's in the military, and I said, when a person goes into war, he was in Afghanistan, he was at Bagram Air Base for four months. I said, if you were prepared for battle, what would you take with you? And he said, if you're in the military, it's something called a rucksack. Okay, it's different from a backpack or a knapsack. It's a rucksack, and in that sack or pack can be anywhere from 30 pounds extra to 75 to 100 pounds of anything between personal items, weaponry, ammunition, all of that. And so you have to be prepared as you go into battle. And as we go into spiritual warfare, Paul is passing the baton on to Timothy, and he says, you need to prepare for this. I read this to you. We read in the New International Version. I want to read the same passage out of the Message, which is a little different translation. It says, I'm passing this work on to you, my son Timothy. The prophetic word that was directed to you prepared for us for this. All these prayers are coming together now, so you will do this well, fearless in your struggle, keeping a firm grip on your faith and on yourself. After all, this is a fight we are in. And if we look at this, there is a spiritual battle. Paul passes on to Timothy, and we can take the same information and same content for us today. Paul leaves Timothy in charge. A charge, and that charge or instruction from a superior officer. Timothy had a job in front of him, and it was going to be a battle. And he's saying things are not going to be easy. They're not going to be fun. They're not going to be comfortable. It's not going to be carefree. You have to approach it, as you approach this job, with intensity. And so Paul had left for him in the same way as a soldier prepares for battle. He was going to have to fight. Along with this, he could not desert his post. Now, this prophetic word, long ago, God set people and things in motion. God knew the purpose. He knows your purpose and what it's going to take in your life. In the same way, he's taking to Timothy, this is what you're going to need. Over the past month or so, I've been invited. We partner with the Florida State Convention. And revitalization is the name of the game now. And so now we're revitalizing associations. We're in the church planting and church revitalization process. We're also in the association revitalization process. And Halifax has been invited to be kind of like the incognito part of three associations to do this. We're kind of like the guinea pigs in this. And then after we go through it, we will in turn be trained to help other associations out. And so I've been thinking back and forth, what are the strengths and weaknesses in my ministry? How can I improve this? Or what is the weakness here? What is the some things that we can do? Is it preaching or teaching or pastoral counseling? Is it evangelism or administration? What is it? And I found that it's none of that. What it is, it's the experiences that other pastors and professors and Christians and all through the beginning of my my process of my journey, of my being a disciple of Christ, have just poured into me and into the Christian faith. Snippets of wisdom, golden nuggets of the faith, to pass them on. And so Paul is doing this with Timothy. He spent time with him, and now he's letting Timothy loose on Ephesus and giving him instruction. And he says, remember, there's a battle that we're in. And that battle is the evil one. And so he says, stay alert. If we go back to 1 Peter, if you have been here on Sunday nights, this might be, you've heard this before. But in 1 Peter 5, 8 and 9, Peter says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in this world. Be watchful. Do it. Be sober. Be self-controlled. Be vigilant, watchful, because the devil, and I don't believe the devil is this impersonal force, or some say that the devil is some calamity, it's when we get cancer, if we have a heart condition. No, I think it's much worse than that. I think the devil is a real person. He's a fallen angel, and I believe that. And so three things about the devil: he disguises, he divides, and he destroys. And the devil, if you're a believer in Christ, the devil wants to destroy you like a roaring lion on the prowl, seeking to conquer or to eat or devour or literally to swallow down. The devil destroys. That's what the devil does. The devil is not your friend. The devil didn't get a bad rap. Don't feel sorry for the devil, okay? Don't feel bad. And so how does the devil destroy the people? Well, distractions and divisions and hindrances, attitudes, the mind or the heart, anger, outbursts, hurts, spiritual confusion and spiritual strife, lust, suspicious behavior, defensiveness, questioning, dysfunctional relationships, discouragement, depression, and it goes on and on and on. And Peter says, resist him. Resist him. Stand up like you would stand up against a bully, and he will leave you. He'll come back, and he'll attack, but resist him. Stand up to him, and he will go away. Fight the good fight. Jess Moody, I don't know if you've heard of Jess Moody, he just passed away. Jess Moody was the founder of Palm Beach Atlantic, which is now a university. He was pastor of First Baptist West Palm Beach, pastor to the Palm Beach elite, and then he went out to California and L.A., and he was pastor of First Van Nuys and moved the church up out of the San Fernando Valley. It's called the Shepherd of the Hills. And Jess Moody was he was Burt Reynolds' pastor, Dennis, I can't think of his name, Dennis Quaid, and it just, the list goes on and on and on and on. But he tells a story about one night during Christmas, they were doing their Christmas musical, Michael Landon came and visited the church. Michael Landon for Bonanza, Highway to Heaven, other shows. But Michael Landon said, I need to talk to you. And so he came back the next day, and he was talking to Jess Moody, and he said, the doctor said that I have cancer and I'm dying, and I want to keep fighting. Give me something to hold on to. And Jess Moody was trying to figure out the right words to say. He said, God, give me the right words to say. It brought him right to 1 Timothy 1:18. Michael, fight the good fight. Fight the good fight. Fight it. And you have to remember, it's an ongoing thing. We must fight this whole understanding that the Christian life is not an easy, carefree type of thing. It's difficult. It's hard. But fight it. Be victorious. And so the first thing Paul says to Timothy is know the philosophy or the understanding of spiritual warfare. There is a war going on, and it's against the evil one. And so you must understand that. Second are the power tools of spiritual warfare. The power tools. In verse 19, having faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected concerning the faith, have suffered shipwreck. The message says it like this. There are some of you know, by relaxing their grip and thinking anything goes, have made a thorough mess of their faith. Power tools. He mentions two things here. First, faith or belief. Timothy was to have the faith that God was in control and would guide him through this. He would guide Timothy. Timothy had to follow, but God would guide and God will take care of it. God has control over all things. Now, God has given us two things in this understanding of faith, prayer, and God's Word. And I think I've said to you, you know, have a love affair with God's Word. Please have a love affair with God's Word. Read the Bible every day. Some can take one chapter. One can take a few verses. One can take five chapters. Whatever it is, have a daily quiet time. Along with Bible study is that understanding of that link, that relationship that we have with God, which is prayer. Prayer is communion with God. And when we pray, we shut everything out. We have that quiet time. It may be when you get up in the morning, at 5 in the morning, it's easier for me to start out that way. Whatever it is, some people do it at night. Whatever it is, however you do it, have that daily quiet time where you get the power source from God. But that goes into our belief system, our faith. Along with that, faith is a good conscience connected with a good conduct. The conscience of the believer is the conscience, it's the moral ethic. The conscience refers to an individual's inner awareness, the moral quality of the personal actions in our personal lives, how we relate to other people, how we treat other people, how do we relate on a daily basis, our witness, our testimony, what are we telling others by the way we live about our God. And this is the idea of self-understanding of mercy and self-judgment, the sense of right and wrong and principles. If the conscience, and you know this, if the conscience is left to itself, it becomes twisted, and therefore it's not always perfect. So we have to watch the conscience, be careful of the conscience. I was listening to a message this morning, and we choose how we're going to think. Now, there are bombardments all the time of things that enter and they come at us, but we choose whether or not we're going to think a certain thing. And so this is what Paul is telling Timothy. When these things come against you, remember the moral, the ethic, the quality, how you deal with people, what you think. I am not the most patient individual. If you know, I've been here long enough. I'm very punctual. I start on time, we end on time, and I do that. And I expect others to do that. And when you're in line at McDonald's, it doesn't work that way. Okay? I've been so impatient at Christmas time, I've called my son to come and stand in the line at the Christian bookstore for me because I can't deal with it and I gotta get these Christmas presents, okay? That's just the way I am. But then I have to be, come on, don't laugh, you know you're like this too, okay? Right? Who likes to stand in lines, okay? No one likes to stand in lines. I hate to stand in line. In fact, a little side note, it's the best thing for a diet. You go through the drive-thru at Wendy's and there's a long line and you sit there and you go, I don't need this. I'm not going to deal with this, right? Save yourself $6-7 in fast food stuff, right? Easy. There you go. You can laugh. But the conscience. Then he says, suffered shipwreck. If you don't follow after God, you are heading for a wreck. And that literally in Greek means literally ruined. And how many people do you know that are so gifted and God has given them so much talent, but they allow pride to come in their lives and ruin them and they are destroyed? How many are rendered ineffective or disqualified because of the choices they make? And this is why when we look at Pastor Search, this is why the due diligence of walking through. Don't just look at a piece of paper and look at this guy's experience and look at all the great things this guy's done. Do the due diligence. Check the references and the non-listed references. There's always going to be somebody that loves you and somebody that doesn't like you. But you need to know this. You need to go through that. And so these are the power tools that you must understand. Now, third, so we got know the philosophy of spiritual warfare, know the power tools of spiritual warfare, and third, the people that you go into battle with. The people that you go into battle with. The last 20, of whom are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I delivered to Satan that they may not learn, that they may learn not to blaspheme. In the message, Hymenaeus and Alexander are two of them. I let them wander off to Satan to be taught a lesson or two about blaspheming. When you go into battle, you have to be able to trust your squad, your platoon, your team. If you can't trust the team, the squad, the platoon, then you don't know if someone has your back. And this is what Paul is telling Timothy. A very interesting thing happened over the weekend. If you watch the news, there were 16 Marines that were arrested at Camp Pendleton for human trafficking and drug smuggling. And what was very interesting was that the leadership chose to arrest them in front of the rest of the platoon. And it was a very interesting dynamic, because what they were saying was, this is not going to be tolerated here at Camp Pendleton on a Marine base. This is not going to be tolerated. And in the same way, when you go to battle, when you have spiritual battle, you have to know who you're going to battle with. Show me your friends and I will show you your future. Now, Paul mentions two names, Hymenaeus. And we find in 2 Timothy chapter 2, Hymenaeus was a heretical teacher that did Paul harm. Alexander is the second guy. He was a metal worker that also did Paul harm in 2 Timothy chapter 4. And Paul says that he delivers them over to Satan. Now, this is a technical term meaning to put them out of the fellowship. Not in the literal sense, but they put them out. And this is very important for church leadership right now. The church is to be protected at all costs. This is God's stuff. I tell people I'm a nice guy. I'm a wonderful person. But let me tell you, when it comes to God's stuff, I don't pull punches. And I've had to say things to some pastors that they may not want to hear. Because when it comes to God's stuff, we don't pull punches. We have to be loving. We have to be kind. But this is God's stuff. And this the church is the bride of Christ. And it has to be protected. The people of God are the people of God. And the idea here is that when an issue that threatens the protection of the church, the person is to be removed and from the fellowship in hopes of bringing about a change. It's the idea of discipline that is to bring a change in the person. Now, blaspheming, literally to speak harm. In the biblical context, blasphemy is an attitude of disrespect that finds an expression in an act directed against the character of God. Actions against Christ and the church as the body of Christ, here is the idea of attitude and speech. In a practical way, if someone comes into this fellowship and starts to teach or tries to gather in some sort of way that's contrary to not only God's standard, but contrary to the fellowship here, it is the leadership of the church, the deacons and the leadership that is to come together and to make sure that that heretical teaching does not take place. And we see this all over churches, very in the world today, it's a very divisive issue. So lastly, we see some reasons why Paul says to Timothy to remain in Ephesus. We remain in Ephesus and we don't give up because, number one, they need the truth. 1 Timothy 1. They need the truth. Secondly, because you minister in a hard place. This is tough ground. You know, people come to New Smyrna and Daytona. They don't come here to find Jesus, right? They come here to get away from Jesus. Unless you're already a believer, a lot of people come to the beach, they come to Bike Week, they come to 500. They don't come here to find Christ. And so this is a hard place. Number three, because God uses unworthy people. Paul mentioning himself. Number four, because you serve a great God. Number five, because you were in a battle and cannot surrender. Number six, because not everyone else does. And number seven, because your faith is weak. Paul tells Timothy that there is a fight, there is a war, so fight it. Number two, know your tools for warfare. And number three, go to war with the right people. When I was a young guy in ministry, my first year was not at all what I thought it was going to be. And I was very discouraged because, and as far as leadership, here, Don, you'll appreciate, if you're in leadership, I believe this with all my heart. When it came to leadership in class, I believed that if as long as I came to work every day and I kept myself spiritually in tune with God, that when it came to leadership issues, that people would just naturally follow. A purely, highly idealistic understanding of life in church. And what I found, and I come from a roofing background and a law enforcement family. So I really believed that it would be different. I went to a convention, and a guy named Pastor Mark Courts of First Baptist Church of Winston-Salem was speaking, and he talked about power with the Lord. And at the end, he preached, and I think if you're in ministry, you can appreciate this. He said, I had preached three times, and this is a large church, and it was on television. He said, I preached three times, had baptism, deacons meeting. He said, I went home that night, and I poured everything out I knew that I had to pour. The television program was on at 11, and someone thought the show was live, so they called me at home. It was an old guy, and I just didn't want to talk. I was tired, I was done, and he said, I need to talk to you. So he sat in the darkness on the floor, and he listened to this guy pour out his heart, and he said, I'm on my last marriage, I lost my job, my kids won't talk to me, I brought this on myself, and I saw your show, and you look like you love Jesus. And I just want to know, is Jesus real? And as he sat, Mark Quartz sat there, pastor of this large mega church. He said, I sat there in the darkness and I felt so ashamed. He said, I sat on the phone on the floor in the darkness and I listened, I prayed with this guy. And as I was sitting there in the darkness, it was like Jesus was sitting there alongside with me. And he said, come on, get up, Mark. You're tired? I too was tired. I too hurt. I too went through trials. I too went through betrayals. I know how it feels. Mark, you have a job to do. You have a right. Get on and get on with your race. And this story was such an encouragement to me. Because the fact is that when we deal with spiritual warfare to the believer in Christ is very tiring. It's very exhausting. And it can sometimes be discouraging. And sometimes we feel like we're by ourselves out there alone. It's just me and God. And we have to be careful not to believe the lies of the devil. And so we have to understand the philosophy of spiritual warfare for the believer. Secondly, we have to know the power tools. Faith. We have to faith it out. That faith comes through Bible study and prayer. Stay on, not your knees, stay on your face. And stay in the Word, have a love affair with God's Word. Understand that conscience that you choose. You choose. You make a choice. And then third, know the team. Know the team. I just want to close with a quick thought about General Schwarzkopf. He came out with a book, something like "I'm Not a Hero" or something like this. And what was fascinating, if you remember back in 90 and 91, and the coalition forces that gathered together, and all the pieces that had to work for this, the Gulf War to just go, and General Schwarzkopf. At one point, they were trying to figure out when to attack, and it was him who mentioned that they had to send the tanks in at a certain time because these sandstorms would come and would tear up the tanks. I don't know if you remember that. But the thing was, it's like, how in the world did this guy know that? And it's interesting. In the book, if you read the book, you know how he knew? He knew because as a teenager, he lived in Saudi Arabia. And his dad was a federal marshal. His mother and the father were separated, divorced, and he would go and he would spend time over with his dad. And he said, as a teenager, I remember laying out on a truck at the beautiful stars and looking at the desert at night. And he knew when those sandstorms would be coming in. And so it was all timing. Now, what does that have to do with anything? The fact is that God, back then, with General Schwarzkopf, was preparing him. There's no one knew, but he knew. He knew when to attack. God was taking care of that in the same way God prepares us for battle. He doesn't just leave us empty-handed with no rucksack. He leaves us His Word. He leaves with us the relationship that we have in prayer. And so don't forget that. When it comes to spiritual battle, as Paul is handing down to Timothy, know that as believers we're in a war against the evil one. Understand the power tools, what's in our rucksack, and go with the right team. I don't know where you are in your Christian pilgrimage, in your journey with Christ. This has been a message for believers. The understanding that God gave His only Son to die on a crude cross for all of humanity because He loved us so much that He would do that. And the beautiful thing is that not only did Jesus, did He shed His blood for us, but after, on the third day, He was resurrected. He conquered death. And we serve a risen Savior. And that begins our pilgrimage, our journey as a believer, as a Christ follower. If you have never accepted Christ, then we're going to invite you to do this in just a moment. We're going to pray. We're going to sing. And if maybe God's leading you to come to follow Christ today, or maybe you want to join this church, or maybe you just want to restart, maybe you want to just come to the altar and pray. Whatever it is, we invite you to do that. Let's pray together. Father, we come to you today. And Father, thank you. As Paul handed down these words to Timothy, that we can grasp and hold on to that. That we have a Savior. That when all looks bad, Father, we can point to you. And we know everything's going to be okay. That whatever happens in my life, I have a risen Savior. And so, Father, I pray there's somebody that's never accepted you. May they do that today. I pray, Father, there may be someone that just is hurting. And they just need some encouragement. And so, Father, I would ask that you would reveal your love, your will. Father, maybe somebody to join the church or just get a restart. May they do that today. In Christ's name, amen.